So I'm going to introduce our speaker for the day. So Jonas Brenneman is here with us and his wife Abigail, their daughter Emma, and their son Matthias. They're getting ready to go on a missions trip to Germany. They've been in the recent past. They're going to share a little bit about that this morning. And they're getting ready to go. They're going to Chicago this week, actually, to check into the status of their visa to go. So we'll definitely need to be praying for them. I'd like to introduce or welcome you up. I'm going to go ahead and pray with you, Jonas, this morning. And then we're eager to hear what the Lord has laid on your heart and what he's been doing and what he will do. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for the Brenneman family this morning. We pray that you'd be with them as they have a lot of balls up in the air to figure out before they go on this missions trip. We pray that you'd bless their family mightily as they take a huge step of faith to go to a different country, seek to do your will, Lord. We just pray you'd be with them and bless them. Please bless Jonas especially this morning as he shares what you've done with them as a family, and that you'd be with them as they, again, prepare to go on this massive endeavor. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you for welcoming us up. I know some of you recognize us, and some don't, but which is exciting. We're glad to be here again. We're glad to be welcomed in your community. My name is Jonas Brenneman, and I want to share with you the work that we've been doing since the last time we were here, and then where we're headed next. And just a brief synopsis of what we do. We're working with MAP Ministry and a couple other ministries as well to help the Amish and the former Amish rediscover the scriptures and Jesus, and reconciling with the Anabaptist history, persecuted past in Europe, and equipping them to reach the German-speaking world in Europe and also the Amish communities here. So if it sounds a little bit complex, it's because it is. since the Reformation 500 years ago, the Amish have allowed their traditions to become more important than scriptures. So much so that many of them are not even reading scriptures. There are communities right around us right here where they still, they have church services. The services are in German. The only allowed to read the scriptures in the old High German. So think Martin Luther translation from 500 years ago, which to us, in the English equivalent, would be the King James translation. So if you pick up a King James translation of the Bible and you read the scripture in that, that's what the old High German feels like. Except many of them have stopped teaching how to read and write and speak in that language. And so essentially, they're not able to read and understand the scriptures, but they're only allowed to read the Bible in that language. So essentially, they're not reading the scriptures, but the traditions go on. And the traditions are very important because the whole structure is built on living a life in such a way that to gain hope for eternal life after death. That's the whole structure is built on wanting a hope of eternal life after death. And they really think that living that very restricted life will create that. It's a long, complicated story of how it got to that, but that's where they're at. Doesn't it sound like they need to know who Jesus is? and that he provides the way. He already gives that hope. We can enter the kingdom now. We don't have to live a life and hope to earn it, but that it's already given. And that's what we want. And I will read from Romans 10, verses 13 through 15, because it seems very fitting to us especially, but hopefully to you as well. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, we know that God has sent us and is sending us. And I pray that he's doing the same for you. That's my hope. We see such ripe fields. The fields are ripe to harvest, but the workers are so few, and we need a lot more workers. And so we're praying for workers, and we're praying that God is calling you as well. To see however he wants to involve you. The Amish are very challenging people to reach. If you've interacted with them, then you have already discovered that they're very, very close. From birth, you are taught how to defend yourself against outside thoughts, against outside ways, because the fear is that people are coming in and trying to corrupt your way of life. So, you know, there's a lot of defense mechanisms built up. I know from experience, I grew up Old Order Amish, and so I have seen, experienced the inside of that. And I know how challenging it is. But we have found some good entry points. And I like to think of it as, you know, when you go to somebody's house, you've never been there before, you pull up and you're like, do I go out to the front door? Do I go around back to the side? Which door do I knock on that will most likely be opened? And that's essentially what it is with the Amish. Which door do you go to knock on that is most likely opened? And also the same applies for Germans in Germany, and I'll connect that in a little bit. But we have found some ways. One of the things is, this has to do first with Germany, is Germans have one of the open doors is they're very fascinated with Amish people. People from Amish background. So we've been there, I think, five times now, and are getting ready to go long term. That is our desire, is to move over long term. And so Wednesday we'll be at the German embassy to hopefully get an approved visa to do that. But missionaries there in Germany have told us, a number of them have told us, that it takes 2 to 5 years to build relationships with German people in order to have a spiritual conversation. Faith, religion is very, very private. And so it's you really have to know somebody to earn that trust to even have that conversation. And when I heard that, I was very surprised, because I thought, this is not my experience at all. I go over, and when I'm introduced to somebody, usually they want to know, well, do you know any German? Well, yeah, my first language is a German dialect, because I grew up Amish. And as soon as I say Amish, the questions begin. They want to know what the Amish are like, what they believe, why did I leave? All these questions are there. And in 5 minutes, I can be having a conversation that it takes other people 5 years to get to. And so I say, what a gift. We got to make use of this. And so we did. Last fall, we took Joe Keim, Joe and Esther Keim, and his Bible study group over. I think we ended up with, was it 12 people in the group? I can't remember now, but as you see, a large group. And we took them around, and the same experience. People were open to, they wanted to know, like, especially, one of the things that you'll discover is in Europe, we used public transportation because it's you can get around pretty much anywhere with it, and we also wanted that exposure to the people. The train culture in Germany is people are very quiet. Your conversations are very hushed. And what we don't realize is, as Americans, we go over and we're loud. Like, we're having a good time, we're enjoying ourselves, and everyone notices. And this group, very much so. And so, it drew attention. And so we started circling around the edges and saying, this group is from an Amish background. It opened so many doors for conversations. It was really incredible. To see. And another thing that we did was we took them into different church communities. This is actually a Baptist church in southern Germany. Joined in with them, worshiped with them, sat down, shared stories across the table. And it was a wonderful time. Germany has a very low percentage of Christians. Some estimate around maybe 1% are born again believers in Germany, which means 99% are not. And so the believers that are there are often very lonely. And seeing other believers, sharing stories is so very helpful. And it was. It was a wonderful time. They still talk about it today, and they can't wait to have people come back. And people showed up, people heard that this group from Amish background are coming, and so people that normally do not come to church showed up because they wanted to meet them. Again, it's like, man, we got to make use of this. And this has to do with connecting to the Amish and the Germans, helping people from that background who are born again, taking them there to help reach the Germans. And also, it's very beneficial for people from the Amish background to visit some of these historical sites. Because again, the Anabaptist movement, as we know it today, took off in Switzerland in 1525, and Switzerland was not going to have it. They said, we got to get rid of these people. They're heretics. They're going to mislead the society. They're a big enough movement that we're afraid they're going to overthrow the government and everything that we know. And so they tried very hard to get rid of them. They ran them into the hills and the mountains. They hunted them down. They killed a lot of them, chased them into other countries, starved them. At one time, it was not only was it illegal to be an Anabaptist, it was illegal to help an Anabaptist. So even if you were not Anabaptist, you offered help, you were charged, you were punished as if you were one. And the big fault that they had was they were kind. They loved people. They always helped the poor. You know, but they were a threat. They were a threat to the government. And we see this over and over again in different cultures, different societies. You can be sure that persecution will come when there's a group of people who pledge allegiance to Jesus, when Jesus is their sole authority and the government wants to be their authority, persecution will come because the government says, no, I want to be your Lord. And that's essentially what happened. The Swiss government and later on German and surrounding countries also wanted to be Lord over these people, over everyone. And the Anabaptists chose Jesus and Jesus only as their Lord. And they paid a heavy price for it. This tower that you see, the buildings that you see, is a prison in Trostelwald, Switzerland. There were a lot of Anabaptists imprisoned here. And now, in very recent years, they have turned the prison section and another portion is a museum for Anabaptist history. Switzerland said, no, actually we were wrong in persecuting the Anabaptists, and we want to reconcile. And so that they help with this, put this museum together. The prison is there, the prison cells are still there. You could go in and even close the door and feel how it feels to be in a tiny cell with just a little window to look out. And they were in there, and they could have walked out. All they had to do was recant. All they had to say was, actually, I was wrong. I believe what the Catholic Church teaches, and they were free to go. But they said, no, I do not believe that this way is right. I believe that Jesus provides the way, not through the priest, not through all these rituals, but Jesus and Jesus alone. And that kept them in prison, often till death, because the government didn't want to have that weight on their shoulders of charging these people. And so it's like, let's just delay their trial, and sooner or later they'll expire in these miserable prisons. We took the group there, and it was a very powerful time of reconnecting with that. Because now that the Amish are, the memory of persecution is still there. Pretty much on any given Sunday in Amish communities, when during the preaching, you will hear something about the persecution. That memory is still there, but it's far removed and it's never been reconciled. And so part of what we're doing is helping people to reconcile with that past. And it's very, very powerful. We took the group there, we went all the way up on the top of this, I think it was 5-story tower of prisons. And each section is where they can close the sections off. And I mean, it's just absolutely hopeless to think of escaping there. But all the way at the top, and I actually don't have the song linked in here, but we got together and we sang one of the old German songs that the Amish sing, with the realization that a lot of these songs were written in prisons. As they were sitting in prisons, they wrote and sang songs. And I don't know if this one in particular was written in prison, but there's a good chance it was. And so when we got done singing, I said, you know, there's a good chance that this was written and sung in this very prison. And now we're standing on the outside of the cells singing the very same song. It was an incredible moment. And you feel it, the darkness is still there. You can feel the heaviness, the oppression. The kids usually make it to the second story, and they say, I want out. Like, and they literally run out of the building. You can feel the weight of it. But it's such a powerful experience to know what people went through to carry the faith forward. And it's actually a large part of the faith that we still have in this building today came from that movement, and especially even the Baptist connects to this movement. Another connection, and this is back on this side now, is the Amish are very interested in Germans and Swiss people from from the German-speaking world. It's one of those doors that if you knock on, it will probably be answered. And so we brought two of our friends, the two that you see there are from Germany. We brought them here and took them around the different Amish communities. And actually, they spoke at the Joe Keim Step Out of the Boat conference this spring. Man, it was such a phenomenal time. They were so welcome. They were so well received. And the church community that you see is up here in... it's just outside of Greenville, over in the Ohio, just across the state line. It's a New Order Amish community, but they welcomed them in, and a lot of Old Order Amish showed up for it too, because they heard that somebody from Germany is coming to speak. I walked into the room and I just could not believe it. Said, wow, what is God doing here? This is incredible. And so that's we're working on both sides of the ocean on this, bringing people from the Amish background who have been born again, taking them over there to help reach the Germans, and then bringing Germans from over there back over here to help reach the Amish. And if that doesn't get your head spinning, well, it sure does mine. I literally wake up some mornings and I'm like, where am I at? What are we doing today? Another thing that we are working on is analyzing the Amish culture, going through from the historical beginnings, showing how the different movements happen, and looking at the theology, spending a lot of time looking at the cultural functions, how the culture functions, how they communicate, because what we've discovered is the Amish still carry a medieval worldview. So when you're talking with somebody Amish, you're talking with somebody who sees the world as people did in medieval times. It's kind of like a time capsule that has carried through. They haven't gone through like the Enlightenment period and all the different modern eras, and they haven't gone through that. They're still very much in the mindset of where God created all things and is somehow involved in orchestrating all things, but is at the same time rather invisible and unknowable. So we're working on analyzing all this so that you can understand how they see the world, how they understand the world, and can meet them where they're at. Interestingly enough, I was preparing all this stuff for a conference in Alabama, and then we had to, the conference got canceled. It just didn't work out, but I had the material and have now taught it at three other places already. One of them was with Joe Keim and one of his Amish awareness conference. But it's quite challenging, because a lot of these documents are the old German or old Latin, you know, as you can see, like the scripts are scripts that we are not used to today. I mean, we went a few years ago, we went to of the archives in Bern, Switzerland, and I was able to actually, I requested the material that I wanted to see. They had it there, and I walked in, took pictures, like handling these 500-year-old books and documents. It was really, really cool. But then the hard work begins of reading it, understanding it, because the language has changed a lot, and some of it is in different dialects and all that. But and then that's one half of it, and the other half of it is actually getting it to the people that need to understand it. Again, this was in the church community just outside of Greenville, where I was able to share some of this stuff, but we're also working with Joe Keim and different ways to actually get the material to people who can use it. It's a lot of fun, but man, is it a lot of work. And you know, it's very, the Amish are in a big unrest right now. Almost in every community that we have been in, talked to people from, there's this unrest of knowing that change is coming. The traditions that they aren't, will not be able to continue the way they are now. Just for an instance, using horse and buggies on the roads, how long will that be able to continue? With cars being faster and faster all the time, there are more and more accidents, and the government will at some point lose patience. It's just the reality of it. I know when I was still Amish in Kentucky, we had the head of the Department of Transportation came to us and was advocating that we put flashing lights and reflectors and all that on the buggies. And he said, I have the legal right to take you off the road, but I don't want to do that. I want to work with you. I want to, you know, we can work this out, but just so you know that I have that right. And so, you know, it's already, and the Amish know this. It's getting to a point where the challenge is becoming unbearable. But more than that, the young people, more and more, that they feel the traditions, the faith, are not grounds enough to live. Like, so for my example, growing up, I started questioning, well, why do we do things this way? Why do we carry these traditions? For instance, you know, why is it okay to hire somebody to drive you in a car, but it's not okay for you to drive the car yourself? And the response was, well, we've always done it this way. Or, you know, our forefathers saw it good to do it this way, and we just need to continue it. We need to trust their wisdom and judgment and continue this. And you can't build a life on that. You can't build any kind of hope on that. Especially the younger generation are feeling that. They say, no, we actually need a lot more. And if 20 years ago, when people left the Amish communities, most of them did so because they did not want anything to do with the religion. Today, over half of them, when they leave, is because they're seeking, either have been born again or are seeking Christ. There's a huge shift. And that there's a hunger within the communities, and I mean the community that's right around us here, we know people who became born again in the community, and because they somehow got hold of an English Bible and started reading it, their eyes were open. They said, this is a scripture? Well, we need to live this. And they became born again, and So they started seeing the things that were wrong in the community, and they said, we need to change this. And the community said, no, actually, we need to continue this. If you don't like it, get out. And so they had to get out. So there's this seeking, there's this hunger for truth in almost every Amish and even a lot of the conservative Mennonite communities. And so it's a time like no other. It really is a time like no other to help people to rediscover the scripture. It reminds me of the story in the Old Testament where the Bible was lost in the temple. They went for years, and you know, I don't remember which king it was. They came to him and was like, we discovered this in the temple. And so he had them read it, and he was like, oh my goodness. He just broke down and wept and said, we got to do this again. And that's what I see with the Amish. They have lost the scriptures in the traditions. And what a time to help them rediscover the scriptures and to see Jesus, meet Jesus, to follow him. Because there's so much discipline already built in and the way of life, that it reminds me of Paul, Apostle Paul, how he fought against Jesus. You know, he persecuted the church, he persecuted Christians, and was saying, "No, we have to keep the ways of the law." But once he met Jesus and understood who he was, he stopped fighting against him and started working with him. And we see that in so many Amish. Once they see Jesus, once they become born again, they're unstoppable. And that's our desire. And so what that looks like for us is we're Lord willing, we'll move to Germany. And we're working with some people there to start a missions training center. To train people really for wherever God is sending them. They'll come there for intensive 3 months training to be prepared to wherever God is sending them. But it will start out with specifically looking for people who want to come to the States and help reach the Amish. And so it will be there as an old church building that has apartments built in it where people can come and stay, and we'll train them to come here to help reach the Amish. And also, the groups will come in, they'll go through the training, and then the building will sit there for about a month with nobody in it except us. And in that time, we have the opportunity to bring people from here over to Germany and to help reach the Germans as well. So it's a very unique work that we're very excited about. And it also provides the opportunity for, let's say, Mercer Baptist, if you're interested in coming to Germany, we can make that happen. So don't keep it in the back of your mind, keep it in the front of your mind, and let's work towards that. It's very doable. How can you be involved? And again, you know, God is calling people, because how can you go if you're not sent? How can people hear without people preaching to them? And how can anyone go without being sent? And literally, like, there are people in Germany who have not heard the name of Jesus. A pastor who said somebody in his apartment complex asked their neighbor who met him in passing and said, oh, do you know Jesus? And he said, no, does he live around here? Never heard of him, had no concept of him. How can they believe on somebody who they've never even heard of? And we know God is calling people. We know God is sending people. Is it you? Our needs are, we need people here who are willing to work, especially with those coming from Germany. We need people who are willing to work with Amish, those still in the community, those who are leaving the community. One of the things that is really needed is a safe place to learn and to grow. Very few Amish have a concept of grace. I remember very well, I became born again. I surrendered to God in the middle of the night in my bedroom. I started going to this little Baptist church just down the road from me. And I would slip in just as the service was starting, slip out before anyone could talk to me. But what absolutely astounded me was that nobody was hounding me. They just let me be. They just let me come. They welcomed me. They were always glad that I was there. And I thought, nobody's telling me how I need to dress. Nobody's telling me how I need to act. This is very strange. I can just come and I can just be. I feel safe. And it was such a surprising thing to have that grace, that freedom. And so we need church communities who are willing to welcome people from Amish background and allow that long process of unlearning and relearning and safe places to make mistakes. And there's a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of awkwardness. There's a lot of cultural differences. But it is very needed. And so if you are willing to do that, we would be very excited. And we need people to come to Germany. We need to help reaching the Germans. And it is doable. A lot of people speak English, so you don't have to know German before you come. There's actually things that you can do English VBS or things like that that parents will send their kids to give them experience talking with a native English speaker. There, you can come sing on the streets. Germans love music. If you announce singing, that they will come to it. You can sing on the streets and it will draw a crowd. So it's just things like that. You can walk the streets and pray. And it is so needed, absolutely needed, just to come, to walk, and pray. And we need people who believe in the work that we are doing and consistently pray for us. And, of course, the financial need is always there. I mean, we are going with, I think we're right now, we have about $1,800 a month that we have to live off of, which is, very low. But God always provides for us and sees that our needs are met. So the financial need is there, and it is an opportunity if you feel that God is asking you to invest in that way. We welcome it. But in whatever way that you feel that God is asking you to be involved, we would be delighted. It reminds me of Jesus and Matthew chapter 10, the whole chapter is Jesus preparing his disciples, sending them out to preach in all the different communities. He sent them out in pairs and he said, just go. God will provide, but go. And expect that people will offer the things that they have for you. And he says, I'll read Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 through 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. But Jesus very clearly says that when you offer what you have to the work of the kingdom, you receive the reward that he will offer. So let's say you offer your services to us or to Joe Kime, that ministry, whatever ministry that God is asking you to be involved in, if you offer what you have, you will receive the reward that God is giving that person. Isn't that incredible? So you don't actually have to go to Germany to be involved and be an equal part in the work there. You don't actually have to go to Kentucky and live in the Amish community to be involved in the work there. But I know that God wants us as a body to all work together to bring his kingdom, bring that good news to everyone, everywhere. We have these cards with our picture and just a bit of information right outside here, and a sign-up sheet where you can sign up for our updates and keep up with what God is doing. If I can ask one thing of you, I ask that you put a picture on your refrigerator or wherever, whatever, to remind you to pray for us. This work is much too heavy. It is much too dangerous. It's much too difficult for us to do alone. I have even started, before we go in different communities, before different meetings and things, I will message people and say, can you pray for us? Because this is what's happening at this time, you know. Because we can't do it on our own. We were never intended to. And so if I can ask one thing of you, it's pray for us. The fight is very real. I can tell you a number of stories. I won't, but could tell you, and our kids could tell you stories as well. Our fight isn't against flesh and blood. Our fight isn't against other humans. Our fight is against the principalities, the spiritual forces in the high places. But when we come together, we unite in prayer, and Jesus is that common goal in making him known everywhere. Those forces don't stand a chance. We've seen it over and over and over. And so let's unite in bringing his kingdom to all people everywhere. Let me pray, and then I'll turn it back over to Walter. God, I'm deeply humbled and very grateful to be here to share the work that you are doing. We know that we can't do this stuff on our own. We can't even come up with the plans to do something like this. But it has to be from you. It has to be your work. It has to be your way and your will. I'm reminded of how you say, how you told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And as Paul said, I will gladly boast of my weakness so that people can see that it's you doing the work. That is our desire. That is how we know the only way that it will work is from you. So thank you for allowing us to see the way that you are working, and we pray that you continue the work in us, through us, and that you send many more people into the harvest that is so very ripe. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.